8:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Hetherington, and this is Meet the People. My guest this morning on the phone from Washington, D.C. is U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski. Well, Senator, it is great to have you back on the air this morning, and welcome back to the airwaves of Sandpoint and King Cove, as well as the surrounding areas.
Well, it's good to be with you. Long distance, Kels. I appreciate it, and look forward to the opportunity to spend a few minutes with you and your listeners this morning.
Well, you have been much in the news of late, especially after a hearing earlier this week on Tuesday in the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, where you are the top Republican. The purpose of the hearing, as I understand it, was to hear directly from top executives at BP America, Transocean, and Halliburton about the April 20th explosion of an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. What came of that hearing, and what did you learn?
Well, as you point out, it was the first effort to hear from representatives of those three companies, BP as the owner of the leases, Transocean as the owner of the Deepwater Horizon rig and the operator, and then Halliburton, who was the company that came in and provided for the cementing of the well casings. I will tell you, I was more than a bit disappointed that the three representatives spent a fair amount of time seeming to blame each other for what went wrong. And I pointed out that there's going to be plenty of time to assess blame. What we need to recognize is all in the industry are in this together. Whoever is ultimately responsible for the accident and the spill is critically important, but this spill is going to affect all, and the regulatory changes that will come out of the spill will affect all companies and areas where the drilling occurs. So rather than focus on pointing the finger at the other guy, let's figure out, first, how we contain this spill, recognizing that it continues to spew oil into the waters at an estimated rate of 5,000 barrels per day. Second, how we deal then with the release, whether it's through additional dispersants, what we are able to do to deal with the spill on the surface, and three, minimize the damage, economic and otherwise. There's much to be done at this point in time. We're still learning what went wrong. We learned from a House hearing yesterday that there may have been issues with hydraulic leaks within the blowout preventer, issues with batteries. I mean, it is suggesting more and more every day that there were some failures within systems that were designed to be fail-safe. We need to get to the bottom of this. Mm-hmm. But at this point in time, there were more questions raised than, I think, answered.
Now, Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey and the former head of the Environmental Protection Agency, writing for Bloomberg News, said that she hopes that the BP oil spill that continues, as you say, in the Gulf will not alter the administration's current plans for offshore oil drilling. What, if any, changes do you see coming out of this episode in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, there's several things that are underway. First and foremost, the president has called a halt to any new permits that may be in the process for a period of 30 days until a review is complete. So that is in place now. That's impacting Shell's ability to move forward in the Chukchi. Other things that you will see unfold, the administration just yesterday released the outlines of a legislative plan to help address some of what we're seeing coming out of the Gulf. Some of the components of that increase the cap on the liability that is assessed to the responsible party. The administration has endorsed a provision that I introduced last week along with my colleague Senator Begich, and that would increase the tax on the oil industry for the oil spill liability fund, so that when there is a disaster, if there is a disaster, there are reserves sufficient in that fund to help make a difference. The Secretary of the Interior has already announced his intention to split the Minerals Management Services, the MMS, which is the agency that is tasked with not only the enforcement of the regulations as it relates to the industry, but they also are engaged with the collection of revenues. If on the one hand you're collecting money that helps fund your agency, and on the other you are enforcing, seems to me that there is a conflict, a potential for conflict. So the Secretary has proposed splitting that. I think you will see other legislative proposals advance as we learn more and understand whether the failings were technological or perhaps administratively within from the federal side as well. So we're looking at all areas.
Changing gears from that topic to another one that's closer to home for us right now. A week ago last Friday, Senator Murkowski, I was in King Cove for a scoping meeting with representatives of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The subject of the scoping meeting was the proposed King Cove to Cold Bay Road, which must cross through a small portion of the Eisenbach Wildlife Refuge. As you know, the president signed legislation that allows, in principle, for the road to move forward, but the actual final decision has been passed off to the Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar. At this point, the project is the subject of major reports and environmental studies. This all raises questions about a timeline for an approval process of the road project. Can you add any insight here, and is there a genuine commitment in Washington to allow this road to be built?
Well, we certainly hope that that genuine commitment is there. You've stated well the situation. I had directed my Energy Committee staff director to testify for me during the Washington, D.C. scoping meetings that were held just last month. We're doing the Alaska ones, as you mentioned. And I am hopeful that we're seeing some good progress being made by Interior on finishing this EIS, the Environmental Impact Study, that's necessary in order for this to move forward. We got $400,000 in the budget last year. I've requested another $500,000 to fund the EIS in this next fiscal year. I do believe that that'll be enough, along with the additional funds from DOI's Department of Interior's budget. So we need to get that EIS completed, and that's a critical piece to it. I will tell you, I think that the case for the importance of this exchange on safety and health reasons was reinforced, it wasn't last week, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, when we had another small plane crash at the King Cove airstrip. Yeah, fortunately for all, everyone walked away, but I think this is just another reason why road transport is needed to get from King Cove to the all-weather airport over there at Cold Bay. We will continue, as I mentioned, the funding for the EIS is critical. There's been information submitted during the public hearings on the impact of the road on waterfowl that use waterfowl, not waterfall. That use the refuge, but you know, as we look at that and assess the low traffic impact, the small amount of fill that will be required to use the road, and the fact that you have existing motorized travel in that area, I think that the EIS is going to show that we will not have impact or we won't have negative impact on the bird life in the area, and again, the public safety benefit in having this road for the residents of King Cove has once again been demonstrated. So the commitment from Interior is certainly there to work with us to finish the process as the law requires, and we'll keep pushing on that.
Okay, you're listening to Senator Lisa Murkowski on KSDP Radio in Sandpoint, King Cove, and the senator is actually calling in from the cloakroom in the Senate, where she has just finished speaking on the floor of the Senate. And just a final question, because I know you have a very busy and pressing schedule this morning. You're running for re-election as senator. What is the theme of your re-election campaign?
It really is about jobs for Alaskans and a strong economy for our state. And I know that that sounds broad and perhaps to some a bit cliche, but the reality is that in our state, where we have expensive cost of living, high energy costs, high medical costs, if we don't have good jobs that can sustain a family, it's Alaska's loss. Our potential as a state, as a resource-rich state, is absolutely limitless. And it's not just our oil that has sustained us for so many decades, but we have potential. You know, out in the Sandpoint, King Cove area, the Aleutian Chain, we've got geothermal opportunities. We've got wind resources. We have just about everything when it comes to energy resources, and we have an incredible people with incredible resiliency. And I view my my strength, my asset, serving in the United States Senate, is to try to facilitate those opportunities for Alaskans, whether they be living out on the chain or up on the North Slope or down in southeastern Alaska. It's about providing those opportunities. And a good, strong economy is where it all comes together. So that's what I'm going to be focused on for the next few months during a campaign mode. And again, I just take a quick moment to thank the people of Alaska for the privilege and honor of serving these past 6 years.
Well, thank you, Senator Murkowski, for your time this morning. Anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I will remind you all, I haven't been out to the Sandpoint King Cove area now for a couple years, and when I last came, it was beautiful visits, great people, incredible weather, and I know that you don't get touted for your incredible weather all the time, mm-hmm. So I just want to remind you that my impressions of your communities are nothing short of exceptionally favorable, and I'm looking forward to the next chance that I will have to visit.
Well, I hope you come out here soon. So,
well, I hope so, too.
It'll be great to see you.
We'll let you know.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kels. We're off to a vote. I appreciate you fitting me in.
All right. That is U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski talking about what she is doing on the floor of the U.S. Senate. She called us from the cloakroom, which is at the rear of the floor of the U.S. Senate. We'll now go back to music right now, and then we'll go to NPR News from Washington, D.C. at the top of the hour.